Christ's sake. Hallelujah. You know, I'm really excited about the events in the United States. He says, I'm one of them. I'm an American citizen. I hope you know that. I'm an American citizen and I'm excited. Thank God. But you see, a few days ago, on the day of the election, before we knew the results, somebody paid us a visit and he said, well, if this man should win, that would be victory for the black people. I said, yes, but frankly speaking, it would be more victory for the white people, for the non-black people. Why? Because they are the ones who can boast and say, we have proved to the world that we don't look at color. We look at the content of a man. There are only 14% blacks in America. 14. There is no way that Obama would have won if a lot of white people had not voted for him. I hope you follow my point. Let's give Jesus a clap offering for the white people. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. We have every reason to rejoice, but we must remember that it took them to make it possible. God had to use so many of them to make it possible. Glory to God. Amen. And I pray that by the grace of God, the world will never revert to what it used to be again in terms of the relationship between and among people. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, having said that, I want to say that we must really pray for Obama. One, for his protection. It's very important. Two, that God will give him the wisdom that he needs for good governance. The mess on ground is big. It's a big mess. And it takes more than the wisdom of any man, any economist. If the economists could have solved the problem, we wouldn't have that problem there now. I hope you follow my point. So, I mean, they do all of the economic projections and I laugh at them. I said, God is the one who puts nations on their feet. Do you follow me? You can have all of your economic projections and they can all fail. If they were not failing, by now, America will be out of this mess. And the whole world is rolling into it. Do you follow me now? We have to really pray that God will give him wisdom. God will give him the grace and the guts to do whatever he has to do to put America back on her feet. Amen. Glory to God. Let us pray. Most righteous Father, we thank you as we come before you again today. We are ready to share from your word again. Holy Spirit, we always look unto you and you never fail us. Thank you as you teach us again today. Let us not be the same when we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we're still looking at our general topic, enter the kingdom. And last week, we started to look at the kingdom concept. And we said that in a kingdom, there will be what? A king, a subject, a priest. The priest is representing the God. So there will be a priest. And the presence of the priest is with what he mentioned, there will be a God. In a kingdom, you recognize a deity. Not necessarily the living God, it could be an idol, but you recognize one. That is why there is a priest. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we looked at the people of God, how God took them from Egypt, across the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and gave them first a priest. Are you with me? Moses was leading them, and we said that God had made Moses a god. You follow my point? So now he gave them a priest, Aaron. And Aaron was to be the prophet of Moses. Hallelujah. God said, I have made you a god to Pharaoh, and I have made Aaron your brother, your prophet. So, they went on through the wilderness, and we said when it was time for Aaron to die, God told Moses to strip Aaron of his priestly garments, which were very beautiful, and put them on Eleazar. And when it was time for Moses to die, God told Moses to bring Joshua out before all of the people and before Aaron and lay hands on him. And God said, some of your anointing will be put on him. Hallelujah. And we explained. You have to read it in the King James Version to get it right. Because in some other versions, it doesn't say some. But God said, some of your anointing. And the reason is that Joshua, who was replacing Moses, would not be a god. Hallelujah. So he can only have a portion of the anointing. Praise the Lord. Moreover, we said that while Moses was around, his own glory, to put it that way, completely suppressed the glory of the priest. Because Aaron was subject to Moses. Aaron did not go to God. Moses was the one going to God. Whereas the priest is the one who is supposed to be going to God. Are you following me? Okay, so for as long as Moses was around and made a god, the priest had to be talking to Moses. Do you follow me now? You see the relationship? Okay, and then Moses was talking to the big god. Praise the Lord. But when Moses was dying, we said that God now told him to tell Joshua in the presence of all of the people that Joshua, who was replacing Moses, and all of the people will do nothing without consulting with Eleazar. So God put the relationship in the right order for the operational aspects of the old covenant. And he told him he must not go out or come in without first consulting with Eleazar the priest. And it is Eleazar who, after the order of the Urim, will consult with God and then tell him, go or don't go. Praise the Lord. And then we said that when Moses was talking to God and saying, appoint somebody else to replace me, he said, give your people another captain so that they are not like sheep without a shepherd. So we said that meant that the captain of the people was not the priest, because Eleazar was there as priest. Hallelujah. So Joshua will be the captain of the people. The captain is the one who commands the people. Praise the Lord. So when you look under the old covenant, you will see that the priest never really by himself called the people and gave them orders. He has to tell the king. It is the king who will talk to the people. And I must have mentioned that if the priest consulted with God and told the king, don't go to war, the king could decide to go. You follow me? He will just lose. Hallelujah. But if the king said, sound the trumpet, they will sound the trumpet and the people will assemble. And if he says, we are going to war, they will follow him. But when he gets there, he's going to lose. Hallelujah. He's going to lose in a bad way. Praise the Lord. Now, we came to the royalty. From the priesthood, we came to the royalty. And we said that God gave them Saul as the first anointed king by God. There was somebody who had been king before that. You remember his name? Samuel. Was Samuel a king? No. I told you we are going to take exams. We are going to take exams. No. Abimelech, not Elimelech, but Abimelech. Abimelech, the son of Gideon, he made himself king. Hallelujah. He killed all of his brothers and made himself king after Gideon. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, but Saul was the first anointed king, the one that was appointed by God. And we said the reason that Saul ever became king was because the people were in a hurry. They couldn't wait for God's timing. They told Samuel, give us a king. Whereas it was not time for them to have a king. Do you remember why it was not time? Who remembers? Why it was not time yet? We said it last week. We have to take exams in this class. Okay, we see, Judah was blessed with the royalty by Father Jacob. However, the law of the Lord says that a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of God's people until the 10th generation. And so Judah, because of adultery, delayed the onset of the royalty in his family because he committed adultery and had Phares, okay? And the king was to come by Phares, and Judah had to wait for 10 generations. And I said, when you get home, go and read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and you will count from Phares to David, and you will see that David is in the 10th generation to fulfill that which the Lord had given as a law for them. So, Saul was used to just slot in for a period only. Benjamin will not establish a dynasty. We said dynasty means after you, your son. After him, his son. And so on and so forth. The kingdom belongs to your family. That is a dynasty. So Saul was just by the way. Then finally, David ascended the throne. Hallelujah. And David functioned partly as king, if you know, and partly as priest or prophet. Interestingly, what was forbidden for a king to do, David would do. Remember? David would say to Abiathar the priest, give me the ephod. The ephod, the linen ephod, was reserved for the priest. Eventually, all of the Levites used to use it. But he would tell the priest, give me the ephod. He would put it on, and himself will inquire of the Lord. Are you with me? Lord, do I go? The Philistines are here. Do I go or do I not go? And God will speak to him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God will speak to him. So he actually represented God's plan for the distant future. After him, no king did that. Praise the Lord. We had mentioned one king before, Uzziah, who tried to offer incense. Immediately he turned leprous. Are you with me? Okay. So, we now want to go and look at something. Well, let me also say this. You remember, because David functioned in both offices, David respected the priests very much. And throughout the reign of David, Israel enjoyed. Do you follow me? They never lost one battle. Never. Everything went well. God himself said eventually that David walked before God in all his ways, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. God said that. Hallelujah. Now, we now want to look at how God introduced his distant plan to us in terms of what he expects us to be in the future. And we are in it right now. But the people of that time only saw it at the distance, something that was coming. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said there were a lot of people who wish that they had seen these things that you see. You follow my point? Praise the Lord. So let's go to the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Did we read it last week? Will that work? Okay, Zechariah chapter 3. I prefer that you read from the King James Version, because there you get good meaning out. Now, Zechariah chapter 3. Somebody read verse 8. Has somebody opened? If you have not opened, I can read it. Yes.
Thou and thy servants are still before me, for their men wandered out. For behold, I will form my servant the branch.
The branch. Hallelujah. I will bring forth my servant the branch. I think we read it last week, didn't we? We did not. Okay. Then let me ask the question now. It's a classroom. What is a branch? Well, part of a tree. What is the branch of a company? Is it the branch of a tree? So you have to define it generally. Or the branch of a road. So, extension. You can have an extension which is not a branch. You can have an extension which is not a branch. I remember we were building a church in one village. And after we had dug the foundation, we saw that it will be too small. So we told the bricklayer, why don't you extend this one this way, extend this one this way, and then just make it longer. You see, an extension does not have to be a branch. Again?
What takes off from the main stem?
Takes off. A branch is a deviation from the normal path. Abi? A branch is just a deviation from the normal thing. If frankly speaking, it doesn't have to be a path. It could be the branch of a company. You follow me? Maybe you are producing plastics. Okay, we are now branching into aluminum products. Are you with me? It's something else. If it is a road, if you have been going in this direction, if there is a branch, you are turning off this direction to go in another direction. If it is a tree, the branch must go in another direction. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So he says, my servant, the branch, which means this person that he's talking about is not following the normal trend. He's going to be something different. He will be unusual. He will go in a direction that we normally don't go. Praise the Lord. However, if you were traveling, and then you got to some place and you know that you have to branch off the road on which you are coming. Now, if you knew what you were doing, you ought to be branching in the direction that will take you to where you want to go. Otherwise, you are lost. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So when he called him the branch, it means this is God's destination. This is God's final plan. So I will show him to you now, proverbially. Hallelujah. So let us go to chapter 6, and somebody please begin to read from verse 11. The same Zechariah, chapter 6. Thank you. Now, in chapter 6, in chapter 3 he said, I will show you. You follow my point. In chapter 6, he shows them. Well, how did he show them? He said, take Joshua, the high priest, the son of Josedek. Say, make him sit there. He said, go and get silver and gold and make crowns. And place on the head of Joshua, the high priest. Now, what do you see that is different? The high priest is wearing a crown. It's not done. The king is not a priest. The priest is not a king. But now, the priest is wearing a crown. Are you with me?
Yes.
That is the branch. We are branching off what used to be. To do something else. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. The priest is wearing a crown. Now, do you wonder why he did not take a king and put the priestly garment on him? Rather, he took the priest and he said, make him a king. Can you tell why? Who is the one who hears from God? It is the priest. It is the priest who can hear from God. So he is combining both offices into somebody who can hear from God. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. But interesting, he said of this man, the branch, he said, look, this man, he called him a man, he calls him the branch, he said, he will be a priest upon his throne and will be a king upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Who are they? If the branch is a man, are you with me now? If he is a man, and he is the one on the throne, and he is the one who is the priest, who are they that will not be in conflict? Remember we said earlier, the kings and the priests got into conflicts from time to time. Have you remember in the Bible? Okay, but he says it won't happen now, because the branch will be the priest, the branch will be the king, and then the council of peace will be between them both. So who are they? But he's only one man. Now remember, we looked at the functions of our components. Have you? Okay. Who is the priest in you? Who will be the priest?
Jesus.
Inside of you. You as a human being. Leave Jesus out for now. Inside of you. Your spirit. It is your spirit that communes with the spirit of God. You remember? And that is the job of the priest, to commune with God and tell you. Hallelujah. So your spirit functions like your priest. Also, it is in your spirit that your conscience lies. Remember? And the priest served as the conscience of the king. What you have done is evil. Abi, Nathan came to David, told him a parable. Huh? And David said, oh, that man was there. He said, you are the man. See, the priest functions like the conscience of the king. So your spirit functions like a priest. What is the function of your soul? What does your soul do in your daily activities? Louder, please. The soul commands. Praise the Lord. Your soul commands in a kingdom. Who commands? The king. So your soul is functioning like a king. Are you following me? Remember, we said that your body is just a faithful servant. Your body never says no. Whatever the soul tells your body to do. If I feel like slapping the face of an innocent man, my hand will not say, but the man is innocent. My hand will just go, bam. You follow me now? My hand will just obey. If I decide in my mind, which is in my soul, to go to Ibadan tomorrow, my body will not say, you go, I stay back. It's not possible. Hallelujah. So, your body functions like the subject, your soul functions like the king, and your spirit functions like the priest. So, when he said the council of peace shall be between them both, he's saying inside of this man, between his spirit and his soul, there will be no argument. The spirit communes with God and the soul does it. No argument. As we are sitting here, don't you argue with your spirit? You do. You wrestle with, you know that the thing is coming, but you fight against it. He says, in this man, the branch, it will not be so. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he's a complete kingdom. Hallelujah. Perfect kingdom. So we know that Jesus never committed one sin because his soul never argued with his spirit. Are you with me? Always did what the spirit said. So now we can understand something better, much better. When they said to Jesus, show us the kingdom of God. What did he say? The kingdom of God is in you. You are a kingdom. It is there. Are you with me now? He has identified the kingdom in the man. Every one of us is a walking kingdom. There is a king in you. There is a priest in you. And your body is a servant. And when you have come into rapport internally, when the council of peace exists between your spirit and your soul, your body will carry out the correct activities. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. So you can understand 1 Peter 2:9. Ye are a royal priest. Everybody is a king and a priest. That is what he is saying. Are you with me? That is the meaning of ye are a royal priesthood. Each one of you is a king and each one of you is a priest. That is what it means. Hallelujah. That is what it means. So Jesus is saying, look, you are asking about the great kingdom of God, but if you don't resolve the one that is inside of you, you cannot see the greater kingdom. Do you follow me now? That the kingdom of God is in you, resolve it properly. And then you can see the greater kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I want us to go from here now in terms of resolving the kingdom within you. I want us to look to go to the discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus because now we can understand it better. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And that's chapter 3. Somebody please just read from verse 1 through verse 6. Chapter 3, John.
After that, one evening, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus,
a Pharisee, came to speak with Jesus.
Teacher,
he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, the truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives life.
Hallelujah. We're very familiar with this passage. Let us now try and see what Jesus is saying. I'm going to ask a few questions. I want you to answer from the passage, not from what you used to think. Praise the Lord. I want you to answer from the passage. The first question. How many times did Jesus say that you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God? How many times? You can find the answer in the passage. How many times? How many?
Two times.
I thought I had somebody say something different.
Two
times. No? How many? Three? Tell us the three times. Three is correct. Tell us the three times. If it was a guess, if it was multiple choice, you got it. But now explain. Praise the Lord. Tell us the three times. Yes. Well, you got the multiple choice, but you missed the explanation. Okay. Okay. Okay.
He said, surely I tell you, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Then in verse 7 again, he said, you know, more than I said for you, you must be born again.
Oh, whoa. Well, okay. In order to save time, let me just say this. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That was one. Then, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit. And means plus. I hope I'm right. And means plus. So, one, you must be born again. Two, you must be born of water and be born of the Spirit before you enter the kingdom. Now, listen. What we generally say is this. Once you are born again, thank God you are heaven bound. But what Jesus is saying there is different. What he says, if you are born again, the only thing that it does for you is you begin to see. Read it again when you get home. Meditate over it. He says, if you are not born again, you cannot see. Look, there are people who have been passing on this road so many times in one day. They see this auditorium, but most of them have never entered into this place. What the scripture is saying is what the scripture is saying. Are you with me? They see, I can see that house from here. Have I entered that house? No. In order to enter that house, I have to take some actions. And have the door open to me, and then I go in. Now, where do you get born again? Where? In which part of you? Loud. Your spirit. When you get born again in your spirit, what happens? And you say, I'm born again. Okay. Why do you need to be born again?
Because I have a body.
Because?
Dirty.
Yeah. Well, okay. Why did you become sinful? We have discussed it. No. Yes. The person who gave birth to you a sinner. Why was he a sinner? Why was Adam a sinner? He disobeyed God. Sin is disobedience. He disobeyed God. Okay. So when he disobeyed God, what happened to him that he now needs a rebirth? He lost his relationship with God. How?
Because of sin.
No.
Because of
sin. Sir, if I used to pay your school fees and you disobeyed me, and I continue to pay the school fees, you haven't lost that relationship, but you have disobeyed. But if I withdraw the school fees, then I withdrew the school fees because you disobeyed. If you want me to continue to give you the school fees again, you have to do something to let me begin to give you again.
Yes.
So I'm asking, what happened when he sinned that he now needs to regain something? Yes? Yes. God withdrew his spirit from him. So when you get born again now, you get born again in your spirit. The spirit of God is reapplied to your spirit. Are you with me? The spirit of God is reapplied to your spirit, and all that does is let you begin to now see how to live as a child of God. Are you with me? That is what Jesus was saying. Look, if you're not born again, you can't even see. You can't understand. To see is to understand. Are you with me? You cannot understand the functionality of the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Let me tell you something. Jesus says, if they smite you on one cheek, turn the other one. Abi? See, that only operates in the kingdom of God. And we can understand that. Go to a Pata market. Are you with me now? Go to a Pata market. If somebody smites you on one cheek, turn the other one. Say, oh, Denny. Because they don't operate like that in the kingdom of darkness. They say, you're a fool. If somebody slaps me once, I've slapped him seven times. That is what somebody will say. Or draw a knife. Why did you slap me? But if you are not in Christ, you cannot get it. You cannot understand that you don't have to fight. You should even offer him the other one. Let him slap it. So this is what Jesus is saying. That the operational aspects of the kingdom of God cannot be understood by somebody who does not have the spirit of God applied. Born again. Praise the Lord. Now, but then, you have seen people born again, spirit-filled, praying in tongues, Abi, prophesying, committing adultery. Isn't it true? I mean, let's face it now. Committing adultery, fornicating like crazy, embezzling the money of the church. You have known of ushers taking money from the offering plate. Are you with me? But they're born again. So Jesus says, the fact that you're born again in your spirit does not get you into the kingdom. But it allows you to know, to understand, to see how the kingdom should be like. But you can still decide not to operate that way. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So now we move. You must be born of water and be born of the Spirit. Why did he say water first? Before the Spirit. Water first, because in those days, as soon as you say, I give my life to Christ, they didn't send you to inquirer's class. Before they baptized you. They baptized you the same day. You follow my point. All other changes in your life will follow. Praise the Lord. And they are brought about by the Spirit. Do you follow me now? Okay. So he says, you must be born of water immediately and be born of the Spirit. That is when people begin to say, ah, the man is changing. That is the Spirit showing forth. And you only change when you are bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is the visible, desirable thing that a plant gives. When it is fruiting, everybody can see. But the materials that cause it to fruit, the materials flowing from the soil internally, nobody sees them. Are you with me? Nobody sees them. So nobody sees the Holy Spirit working in you until you bring forth fruit outwardly. that people can see and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. So he says you must be born of water, you must be born of the Spirit. Being born of water is this. When you get home, read the book of Romans chapter 6. He talks about baptism. Now, he said, do you not know that as many of you as have been baptized into the body of Christ were baptized unto his death? Are you with me? In other words, when you stood in the water, that was your old life. When they dipped you in water, that symbolized the fact that you are now dead to the world, to the life of sin. And then when they brought you out, you are resurrected into new life in Christ Jesus. And the apostle explained that if you have died to the life of sin, sin should no longer have dominion over you. And he was talking to people who had believed. Are you with me? Okay. So, I explained to people, most of anybody here has known somebody who died. Have you? Somebody. A friend, a parent, a relative, somebody who died. Do they ever return to this world? If you used to eat together at table, when it is time for food, do they come and say, let me join you now, let us eat? No. See, the apostle says, you die to a world once, and you don't return there. So why do Christians continue to return into the world of iniquity? Are you with me now? Why do we go back there, have another taste of adultery, another taste of fornication? And we want to go back and do it again. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, what baptism represents, being born of water, what it represents must show forth in your life. You must be dead to that world of sin. And then you must be born of the Spirit, bring forth fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. At that point, you would have entered the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that you were born again in your spirit, to whom much is given, much is also required. The Spirit is given to you to help you. But you can grieve him. Remember, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed until the day of redemption. Are you with me? You can grieve him. You can disobey him. So, are you just heaven bound, disobeying the Spirit and grieving the Spirit? No. Jesus says, but no matter what, inasmuch as you are born again, you can always see. You can see the ways of the kingdom, even if you are not doing it. And believe me, nobody ever commits a sin without knowing. We always know. We always know. We always know. Remember one of the functions of your spirit? Intuition. Have you? Intuition, that which teaches you from inside. And we said that is the same thing as unction. So you have an unction from the Holy One, right? So that nobody needs to teach you anything, right? So the Holy One always tells you. Maybe the pastor is saying it, but before the pastor said it, the Holy Spirit told you, you did it wrong. Do you follow me now? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is the substance of the discussion with Nicodemus, that we must not assume. I have heard some pastors say it, and it's ridiculous. They say, oh, well, you're born again. It is the age of grace anyway. Okay, so what? So you can do all of the wrong things. Now, what is the difference between the church and the people out there? What's the difference? There has to be a difference. The difference is that you must evolve into a new life in Christ Jesus. And I say to people, the apostles, the first apostles, there's nothing on record that one of them committed adultery, one of them stole church money, one of them, are you with me now? Okay. It is today that a pastor in all of his glory can do anything that he wants to do. The women in the church become a privilege for the pastor, one by one. I have been in the church where that was happening before. And you're born again. What do the unbelievers do? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I'll stop there today. Then next Monday, we'll take maybe one or two parables of the kingdom, and we will relate them with these things that we have been talking about so we can understand the parables even more based on what we have discussed so far. Glory to God. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Shall we have some free discussions, questions, comments, contributions? As usual. Well, let me say this as somebody thinks of saying something. You see, when God took the children of Israel across the Red Sea, the Apostle Paul said they were baptized unto Moses. Are you with me? He said they were baptized unto Moses. And that was their own kind of being born again. Do you follow me? You see, they were baptized unto Moses as you were baptized, and God gave them his priest to speak the mind of God to them as he gives you his Holy Spirit to speak to you. Do you follow me? So that was their own kind of being born again. Pseudo rebirth is not the real thing. You follow my point? But it is for us to learn from. But even then, they misbehaved all the way. Are you following me? 2 Corinthians 10, I believe, if you go and read, the Apostle Paul talks about this. He says, those things were written as examples for us, that we may know that the fact that we have been born again and baptized unto Jesus, he said, they were also baptized to Moses, but they never got to the land of promise. Are you with me? Okay. He says, so, they were examples for us that we must know. That if it happened to them that way, then we must understand that it can happen to us in the better covenant. That the fact that you have been baptized, he said they drank from the rock, which was Christ. So the fact that we partake of the body of Christ does not mean that we will get there. We must properly sanctify the Lord in our lives. Are you with me? In order to get there. That's the message he was getting across. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Well, no, the question I have is it theological, I would say?
Okay.
Because there are some people who feel that leadership in the church,
yes,
this day, should belong not to the pastor, but a leader in the class of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? That have the measure of the Spirit of God.
Mm.
That even the pastor, we have to, relate with that leader. That is one. The other one is that these days, we don't need the priest again. And we don't need the leader again.
What do we need?
Since Christ is the high priest.
Yeah.
The pastor is not the priest, is he?
He occupies the position of the priest.
Okay. Now.
But he's only called a pastor now.
He's called a pastor. And we don't have a leader again.
You see, those who...
Those who are in a different dispensation.
Yeah, but this dispensation is what I have just talked about. That each of us has become a priest and a king.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
This is the dispensation. So if everybody is a priest and a king, what do we need as pastor or leader?
Yeah.
That's all you need now.
You just
need somebody to now lead.
Yes.
Do you follow my point? Mm. So to say that the pastor now also needs a leader. So you see how it doesn't fit in at all. The pastor is your leader. And Jesus is the high priest. That's it. And everybody is in the royal priesthood.
Royal priesthood.
Yes. And priesthood means a lot of people. Priest is one person. But priesthood is a system. Are you with me?
Okay.
So we are in the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek.
Okay.
I said we are in the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
You follow me now?
Okay.
Not the Levitical order. But the order of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Who is Melchizedek?
Salem.
What? King of Salem, is that all? Yes, but it's not complete. No, don't worry about that. But originally, when he first appeared, how was he described? The what? Priest of the Most High God, priest of the Most High God, and King of Salem. So he was a priest and a king. You follow me now? So we are operating in the order of Melchizedek, as the prophecy said of Jesus. As the prophecy said of Jesus, you are the high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
Do you follow me now? So, if Jesus is high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was high priest and king of Salem, are there two of them now? Are there two of them now? One. So Jesus is Melchizedek. Now, you will get it now. The book of John chapter 8. When you get home, just you can begin from verse 54 or so, whatever. But you will know it when I begin to tell you. Jesus was talking to the Jews. And he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad to see it. The Jews said, look at you, you fool. You are not 50 years old. When did you see Abraham? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So when did Abraham see Jesus? What was Jesus telling them? The day that Abraham saw Melchizedek and he blessed Abraham, that was me. That is what he was telling them. Praise the Lord. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, that was me. I am the Christ. Praise the Lord. If you have dicks, you read his commentary about Melchizedek is off track. Says he was probably a Gentile king of off track. Yes, dicks. He says he was probably a Gentile king of the city that was called Old, the Gentile king of Old Jerusalem. That is what he said. The Apostle Paul explained the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, chapter 7. You can go and read. He said, look, he was called the king of Salem. He said, but Salem just means peace. Do you follow me? So he was king of peace. He was explaining. And then he said, his name, Melchizedek, also means Lord of righteousness. Do you follow me? Praise the Lord. So he said he had no father, no mother, no siblings, no beginning, no end. Do you follow me? So was he the king of Old Jerusalem? He was saying he was not a king on earth. He was an eternal priest and king, the Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, John chapter 3.
When we're talking about unless you are born of the Spirit and water.
Yes, of water and the Spirit.
Water and the Spirit. And you did mention in passing that we now have Christian leaders who manifest various aspects of the Spirit.
Yes.
Miracles.
Yes, the gifts of the Spirit.
Word of knowledge, what have you.
Yes.
And yet they live in sin.
Yes.
In what way can there be a transformation? Is it now therefore that we should use the fruit of the Spirit to judge and not the gifts of the Spirit?
Oh, well, Jesus said by their fruit you shall know them. He never said by their gifts you shall know them. He never said by speaking in tongues you shall know them.
Oh, yes.
He said by the fruit you shall know them. That's why we are going to consider some parables next Monday. Do you follow my point? Okay, so we can end up with the parables and we'll see what some of the parables of the kingdom say. Because now we can understand them more. Hallelujah. Okay. So it doesn't matter. He says in that day, they will say, Lord, in your name we cast out demons. In your name. Do you follow me? And I will say to them, I don't know you. You are workers of iniquity. Okay. So may we not be cast out in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Can we take one more question? Anybody? Nobody? Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, sir. Hallelujah.